Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a big game tonight in Lambeau. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders coming in to face Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, and the Packers. We're excited about that. Asking you today, who's more likely to win an MVP, Jordan Love or Jaden Daniels? We also got an update on Brock Purdy, Pearl. Not good. 49ers quarterback dealing with turf toe. Could be out several weeks.
And the shoulder?
The shoulder's on the non-throwing shoulder.
Okay.
So I don't think you're that concerned.
He does run a lot, though, so you can hit that shoulder. None of it's good.
No, none of it's good. But we put all of that news to the side to get to Maggie and Perloff's King of the Mountain.
Who is the King of the Mountain? Maggie and Perloff search for the greatest NFL team of all time.
Pearl, this is a project that's going to be going all season long. We started it last week.
Yep.
Where the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins took out the 1998 Minnesota Vikings. And now the Miami Dolphins are the undisputed King of the Mountain for now.
Yeah.
But man, what a doozy do they have this week when we put them up against another unbelievable team.
Yeah, I mean, you know how I skew to the historical old teams. I don't want to see either of these teams go out this week, Maggie.
Okay, so the 1972 Dolphins are currently the King of the Mountain as we are trying to figure out throughout the season who is the greatest NFL team of all time. So we're putting these teams head-to-head every week. We're going to put out a poll on X at Maggie and Pearl, and you can vote. You ultimately decide. Perloff and I can make the case for whatever team, but ultimately you decide who should be the King of the Mountain. Now, we'd love to say we planned it this way, and maybe at some point we will take credit for this, even though we don't deserve it. The fact that the 1972 Dolphins were the first matchup of this exercise means they have a chance to run the table potentially again.
Well produced, EJ.
I know. I'd love to give EJ credit for that, but we were using a randomizer.
Yeah, sorry. Randomizer gets all the credit.
Meanwhile, so here we are. Are you setting this up or am I?
So I can set it up as well.
Go ahead.
That's totally fine. So again, you remember last week? The 1972 Dolphins enter the fray as the current King of the Mountain.
As the triumphant Miami Dolphins returned from Super Bowl VII, a throng of thousands gave a winner's welcome to the team, Coach Don Shula, and owner Joe Robbins.
This is the Vince Lombardi Trophy for the winner of the Super Bowl.
The 7 years since Joe Robbie was granted a franchise in the old AFL, Miami not only won the Super Bowl, but had gone an entire season undefeated. A feat no other NFL team in history has accomplished. It is unlikely ever to happen again.
Man, that is a pack-a-day voice right there.
Yeah.
That is deep.
Legendary. And now they have a new challenger, the so-called King of the 70s, the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Dallas Cowboys played their hearts out. But they were a single team against an entire nation. The mighty Pittsburgh Steelers. In the last 5 years, they have won an unprecedented 3 Super Bowl titles. Pass the word, pro football. The king is back.
I find that analogy confusing because it's America's team, but they were going up against a nation, presumably Steeler Nation.
Hmm. Yeah, the video shows the terrible tiles going crazy at the Orange Bowl.
All right. I just want to make sure John Facenda's writers knew what they were doing here.
Don't worry about the voiceover. So today's King of the Mountain matchup, the 1972 Miami Dolphins, the still only team to be undefeated in the Super Bowl era against the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Pearl, who do you think should win?
Sorry, Miami. No champagne this year to the surviving members of the 72 Dolphins. You're getting your first L. It's early. We're in week 2. But I'm overreacting. I'm ready to declare the 78 Steelers a contender to win this whole thing. Because, and you cannot talk me out of this team, Maggie. They had, listen, how many Hall of Famers? 10 Hall of Famers. And not only that, these guys were there for a long time. So it wasn't like this one anomaly, like they were Daniel Snyder's Washington team. They didn't sign free agents. These guys were all part of the Steelers' legacy. And at every level, on both sides of the ball, they were immaculate. They were an incredible team. I think they would have beaten anybody. This was pre-salary cap, so they would kill the salary cap teams. You can't keep 10 Hall of Famers.
Yeah, 12 Hall of Famers, 10 players.
Yeah.
But also Chuck Knoll and Rooney, Art Rooney.
Obviously, Terry Bradshaw are one of the best quarterbacks. Franco Harris, one of the best running backs. Lynn Swann and John Stallworth, a wide receiver. And then the monsters on defense, including Mel Blunt, arguably the greatest defensive back of all time. I don't know what the downside of this team is. Like, what is the flaw? Maybe there were better coaches than Chuck Knoll out there. Maybe there are holes on the offensive line. But honestly, all those Hall of Famers would carry you over any team.
Okay, the reason why you have to go with the 1972 Dolphins over the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers is what you just said, Pearl. This was a team that was together for a long time, right? This was a Steeler team that, you know, obviously they won the 4 Super Bowls in 6 years. The 72 Dolphins beat the Pittsburgh Steelers on the way to the Super Bowl and that undefeated season in 72, and they had to go to Pittsburgh to do it because of this weird situation with how they seeded the playoffs at that time, and you would think an undefeated team would have home field advantage throughout, but it wasn't like that. So the fact of the matter is that 72 Dolphins team, who also had tons of Hall of Famers, 8 of them, including 6 players, not to mention coach and owner then, you have to go to Pittsburgh and beat a lot of these same guys, almost all of them.
Yeah,
so
but
to
that
me,
was,
you got to give it to the 72 Dolphins still.
That was so early in the Steelers' sort of genesis. They had never been a winning team until that Immaculate Reception year. That was their, they were bad for
but
a long time.
That was 72 was the Immaculate Reception.
Right. But they were just learning. Terry Bradshaw was 24. Like, they were just learning to be the Steelers. That was not the Steelers' dynasty team. They had to mature, I think. They were on the up and come. Now, I don't think that 72 Dolphins team could have beaten the 78 Steelers. I think they could have beaten the 72 Steelers, but then Pittsburgh got so much better.
Well, that's because there were rule changes that happened before the 1978 season that basically were intended to kind of hamstring the 78 Steelers by not allowing you to, like, block, you know, like Mel Blunt, like not being able, you had to give the receiver 5 yards before you could touch them. But it ended up helping the 78 Steelers because they opened up this passing attack and then became this, like, high-flying offense, which they weren't in the first 2 Super Bowls that they won with Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, Bradshaw led the league in touchdowns that year. I mean, just talent-wise.
It's the same. I feel like it's 72 Dolphins still have to have it over 78 Steelers because it wasn't like it was so much after, you know, the 72 Dolphins that the Steelers started winning. They won their first one in 74. It was 2 years later. It was a lot of the same team.
Yeah, but they were, I mean, nobody expected them to be anything in 72. Like, that Immaculate Reception was the turning point in the entire franchise. Like, that was the origin story, if we were doing a superhero movie,
sure,
of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, they were not going to come out of nowhere and beat the Dolphins that year. But you could tell that they were, something was happening.
But Mean Joe Green, Terry Bradshaw, yeah, Franco Harris, they were all on the 72 team.
They were babies.
Anyway, also, like, undefeated. I mean,
I don't know if they could have, like, what's their strategy against that Steelers team? Because you have Jack Lambert out there hitting people, Jack Ham. I think the Steelers would have been sort of well placed to stop that Miami running game. And then who do you cover in Pittsburgh? You focus on, it's a big game, so that means Lynn Swann is showing up. Do you try and stop Stallworth? Do you try and stop Franco Harris? There's just so much going on with that Pittsburgh team. I do not see how Miami could do it.
So 1972 Dolphins versus 1978 Steelers. We're trying to find the greatest NFL team of all time. This is the King of the Mountain. Can I also give another thing that's in the Miami Dolphins' favor? The fact of the matter is Terry Bradshaw was the MVP in 1978, right? This was a more wide-open passing attack, and he was a huge part of it. Meanwhile, 72 Dolphins basically won 11 straight games with a backup quarterback in Earl Morrill. Like, you can tell that's a much better overall team if you can hold the fort with a backup quarterback. Your Philadelphia Eagles with Nick Foles, Giants with Jeff Hostetler. This shows you that this is a much better and greater team, that you can afford to lose a Hall of Fame quarterback and you still go undefeated.
Well, by the way,
pretty amazing.
Undefeated by the skin of their nose.
Well, who cares?
It reminds me a little bit of the undefeated Patriots. Like, they barely won. Each playoff game was a one-score game. And, you know, obviously against Washington, that Super Bowl was so tight. Easily could have gone either way. That was not, ironically, a dominant Miami team come postseason. That was like, survive.
Well, they had to go to Pittsburgh and win, which is a challenge, and they did it. And then in the Super Bowl, they were ahead by two scores, and if it wasn't for Yepremian, you know, getting a kick blocked and then picking up and scooping up the ball and weirdly throwing it away, which I think Larry Zonka might have killed Garo Yepremian if he could have, that was like a blunder, you know? That was like a fluke.
By the way, you could
argue. They still won.
The Steelers-Cowboys game that year could have gone either way. But here's one thing, and you know in this debate, let's not kid ourselves. The Steelers are not just about 1978. This is about an entire decade. This is a team that has been through so much, four Super Bowls. And not only that, like, does anyone not love that team? How do you not love that team? The 72 Dolphins have their own thing going and they're in a separate category. But I think even if you didn't even see them and you weren't born for another 30 years, you know about the 70s Steelers.
Yeah, but I could say the same thing about the Dolphins, who won back-to-back Super Bowls. They won 72. They won.
Kicking is like there's that
well,
like
okay. They lost the Super Bowl to the Cowboys in 71. Then they win the Super Bowl in 72, go undefeated. Then they won again in 73.
Those are not high-profile Super Bowls. The Super Bowl took off when the Pittsburgh Steelers started to dominate. Like where that one. I don't even know. I have no memories of like the highlights of that Dallas Miami one. Wasn't that? It was like outdoor somewhere. Like they used to, the halftime show was like basically a high school band. Like that was early Super Bowl.
It was only a couple years later.
Then the Steelers came. Then the Steelers came and just started to make it a much, much bigger thing. I think peaking in 1979 when the Steelers beat the Rams. It was like the biggest Super Bowl up until that point. That's all because of the Steelers and how popular they were.
All right. This is the Maggie and Perloff King of the Mountain. It's not supposed to be about multiple years. Perloff's trying to make it about multiple years. It's not. It's supposed to be about each season. Who was the greatest team, individual team of all time? Not who was the greatest dynasty. Not who was the greatest era. Who's the greatest team of all time? And today it's the 1972 undefeated Dolphins against the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers.
And who is cooler, too, because those helmets, iconic. You know, it was when you think of that Pittsburgh Steelers team, you see sparks flying in a steel plant and just like hard hats and Pittsburgh and all those great things. And the 70s, like that's the 70s, not the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, I don't even know what's the image of the 72 Dolphins.
So, I mean, can I give you Shula? Can I give you Mercury Morris? Can I give you Larry Zonka? Can I give you Jim Kick? Can I give you Manny Fernandez? All these guys.
I just basically described the opening scene of Flashdance. Like, by the way, you guys don't even know that movie, do you?
Yeah, no idea
what you're talking about.
Flashdance? Huh? It's an iconic movie. Jennifer Beals, she's a dancer in Pittsburgh.
Flashdance.
You guys never heard of Flashdance?
Absolutely not.
I've heard of Titanic.
You've heard of the song "What a Feeling," isn't that the
song?
What
a feeling!
Oh yeah, I know that song.
And by the way, the dance scene from that movie has been parodied 1,000 times. You've probably seen it. She's basically dancing, and she pours a bucket of water on herself.
Oh, she's wearing like a half sweatshirt.
That's the original?
Yeah, that's the original.
Oh,
good morning, guys.
Big fan of those types of videos.
I'm sure you are. 888-710-4ISN 888-710-4476. 1972 Dolphins versus the 1978 Steelers. These are the type of up to date sports debates that you will find right here at the Maggie and Perloff Show. Let's talk about teams from 40 years ago. 50.
There you go. Here we go.
Hello. You can go 30. Vote at Maggie and Pearl. 72 Dolphins versus 78 Steelers. Who deserves to move on and be the king of the mountain? Do we forget anything there, EJ?
I just think the Steelers with the 10 Hall of Famers, this team might have the best case to beat the Dolphins.
Like, but it's not like the Dolphins didn't have a lot. Is it 10 versus 8?
Yeah, it was 6 players because the Steelers actually had 12 total if you count. You know, the owner and the coach.
Right.
You know, the Dolphins have 8 if you count the coach and the general manager. Why the general manager of the 78 Steelers is not in the Hall of Fame, I have no idea. It's really weird. He's in the Pittsburgh Steelers Hall of Fame. This may be the team that has the most raw talent. Like, if you're saying combined raw talent and Super Bowl win, this is probably the team. So I'm like, the Dolphins, and maybe it's good you get them week two. Because I'm like, if you can get past this week, like, I wonder who else sees them. Like, is it going to be a 90s Cowboys team, maybe? Is it undefeated Patriots? Like, who knocks them off the perch?
80s Niners.
Oh, yeah, 80s Niners is going to be a big one, too.
They're going to be really tough. And 85 Bears are looming out there, assuming they make our list of top 25.
I think they will.
Yeah, by the way, so the GM, what? So did the Rooneys, like, were they Jerry Jones-ish?
I mean, maybe that's why.
I think that's why. I think the Rooneys kind of ran the team back then. But the most Hall of Famers ever was actually the 61 Packers, had like a million of them. So back then, it was pre-salary cap. You could have a dozen Hall of Famers. It wasn't that crazy. But the Steelers had names, too. They had them all at skill positions. They weren't a bunch of, like your Miami Dolphins, you had a no-name defense on the team that you're voting for.
But that was just a cute name.
But they literally had no, like, their, how many Hall of Famers were on that list? I mean, I know Nick Bonacani, but I don't know how many, like, great all-time players. They were. It really was not that great a team, even though they were undefeated. I'm sorry.
Well, they were also number one in scoring that year and number one in offense and number one in defense. Number one in scoring and number one in points allowed.
So how come they didn't have any names then, Maggie? Answer that.
Full team. Complete full team. That's what it is. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Got a little historical debate for you. 72 Dolphins versus 78 Steelers. Yeah. If you're into something a little more modern day, can I interest you in tonight's game? Jaden Daniels and the Commanders going to Lambeau to take on Jordan Love and the Packers. We're asking who is more likely to win an MVP, Jordan Love or Jaden Daniels?
So. It's close. The odds are almost identical in Vegas. They're third
crazy?
And fourth behind Allen and behind Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I think Jaden Daniels entered the season way ahead of Jordan Love, but week one, you mentioned earlier, if they go 13-4 and he's the quarterback, it's going to be good. By the way, not a lot of surefire Hall of Famers in this game. We got Micah Parsons, not surefire.
Yeah.
I'm ready to put Matthew Golden there, even though I think he has one catch in the NFL.
Well, the older guys are actually on the Commanders, right? So they have a little bit of an older roster.
Oh, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner's in, and I'm trying to think. Do you think Debo Samuel's a case?
Ooh, that's a great... Oh,
I don't think
that,
so.
That's next
probably
week's great debate.
Probably not. I mean, he probably falls a little bit short, but
they
Debo...
win a ring this year? By the way, what a play by Debo last week.
Yeah, he looked good in week one.
And that one play, I don't know if he's going to be able to sustain it.
Matt LaFleur's like winning percentage is so good right now, but coaches getting into the Hall of Fame is so hard. You have to win multiple Super Bowls, it seems like.
Mike Holmgren's not in.
I know, which is a crime.
That Matt LaFleur's gonna get it?
Yeah, I know. Mike Shanahan's not in either. It's silly.
Oh my God. That has to be corrected. Do we have any other Hall of Famers on this Zach Ertz? No.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Next week's great debate is Debo Samuel Hall of Famer.
Mark your calendars. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So Maggie Perloff, King of the Mountain, is live for you. 72 Dolphins or the 78 Pittsburgh Steelers? And also, who's more likely to win an MVP, Jordan Love or Jaden Daniels? Coming up next, a question for one of our favorite college football coaches.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Learn how it's so much more than just another SUV at HyundaiUSA.com. All right, Meg, it's Thursday. Not exactly a huge college football weekend coming up, but I think there are enough matchups to sort of pique our interest here.
Totally. I'm really into this Notre Dame-Texas A&M game. You and I don't see this the same. You know, Notre Dame got the week off after they lost to Miami in the opener. They didn't look bad, but they lost to Miami on the road. Now they get a week off. Now they have Texas A&M coming in. Marcus Freeman 3-0 against SEC teams since he took over as the head coach of Notre Dame. But where you and I don't agree is I think this is a must-win game for Notre Dame. And I know the committee will bend over backwards to get Notre Dame probably into a field of 12 or 16 or whatever. But they don't have a lot of great teams left on their schedule. There's not a lot of moments for like a statement win.
Yeah.
Unless USC ends up being better than we think they're ranked now. But I don't know. Like, if they have two losses out of the gate, that's going to be hard to come back from, no?
Well, this is really going to put the committee to the test. Are they going to actually care about strength of schedule? Because last year, I mean, Notre Dame lost in Northern Illinois, and what was the win that convinced the committee that they were a great team? Nothing.
Well, Texas A&M, maybe in the opener.
Yeah, right. But after the loss, they didn't show anything. And A&M wasn't great last year. So I don't know. I feel like a two-loss Notre Dame, are they really going to keep them out? I'd love to see it. Now, your logic's spot on. Like, there's no impressive win coming. But they didn't really do it last year. And here they are, you know. They beat up on the service academies. I think a two-loss Notre Dame still gets in. And by the way, we might see it. Like, A&M could be really good. They have this receiver I've been watching on ESPN. Casey Concepcion is, like, the truth. I would not be shocked if Texas A&M won this game, but I would love to see it because I think the committee is a bunch of wimps, and they will always take the bigger brand.
Probably. I mean, they always want to reiterate it's a television product, and obviously Notre Dame is a big selling point. I think that's a big game for Clemson, too. And, you know, they're a small favorite on the road against Georgia Tech. I know Georgia Tech has injuries, and including their quarterback who's banged up, but it has just not looked how we thought it was going to look with Cade Klubnik. They're 1-1 right now. This is a big deal. And then you got two ranked teams in Georgia and Tennessee, number 6 versus number 15, that's in Knoxville. Mm. And so far, I don't think people have been super impressed with Georgia. It took them a while to put away Austin Peay.
Who are we impressed with?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, because basically last week, everyone played a cupcake, so it's hard to tell. Like, yeah, Penn State, have we really seen?
No,
like,
I'm impressed with USF, who goes to play Miami Hurricanes, and EJ's worried that USF is going to put some kind of spell on his team.
I mean, yeah, move over Alabama, Georgia. Here comes South Florida.
Florida has done the most impressive thing any team can do in the first 2 weeks. I mean, took out Boise, though that was at home, and then last week.
I think Ohio State. Florida. I think you could say Ohio State was impressive. They completely shut down Texas in every, I know Arch played bad, but every aspect of the game. That was crazy.
I don't know. I mean, what was the final score of that game? 14-7.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not exactly style points. I mean,
yeah, but the style and defense, like, what? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, they have a bunch of 19-year-olds who look like the third-year NFL players. That was crazy to me.
Florida LSU is going to be a good game also. Like, what is Florida? How do they respond after losing to the aforementioned USF Bulls? And they go to LSU, which I think a lot of people believe are a national title. They're third in the country, but could win it all.
Is it going to be a good game? Well, what Florida are we going to see?
That's why you got to tune in. LSU 7.5-point favorite in that game.
By the way, Penn State plays Villanova this weekend.
Yeah,
so you're learning nothing about them still.
Ridiculous. Penn State. Yeah, I don't know how this happened. When is the when's the Ohio State game? Like, they have
not
like,
till later.
Yeah, like November. Because I was listening to a draft podcast about Drew Aller. Is he going to be the number one pick? How do we have any idea? Like, we really, when are we going to understand, like, who drew it? That's the other thing. If you look at who's the Heisman and who's the number one quarterback, that's all quite murky at this point, right?
I mean, I put my bet on John Mateer. I know now he's the favorite, but I did that after Oklahoma beat Michigan. Remember, I got it plus 1,200.
I was jumping on Mateer in the offseason because I was a YouTube highlight. He hasn't even really, we haven't seen all the crazy runs yet. We've seen a little bit, but Michigan was good. But that, I give Mateer a lot of credit for, because that's a good defense that he played really well against.
No doubt. I think this is a good college football weekend. It's better than last week. 888-710-4ISN. Quickly, our King of the Mountain is live. We are trying to find the greatest NFL team of all time. Right now, the 1972 Dolphins, the undefeated Dolphins, are the King of the Mountain. The challenger this week is the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers. Brad is in Oregon. What's up, Brad?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Maggie, I got to agree with you. You know, when you're the only team in the NFL history that's done something, going undefeated, nobody did it before, nobody's done it since, I think that makes them the King of the Mountain. And the thing about it, too, is just how important it was to the players back then, because they get together every year. They have their gathering, their champagne, after the most undefeated team this season gets beat. So it was really impressive to them to keep it going and celebrating, and I think they're the King of the Mountain.
We'll see if they can run the table, Brad, again, because thank you for the phone call. They were King of the Mountain from week one, and we'll see. Can I just tell you some of the other crazy things when you go back over these old games?
Yeah.
Something that still is just shocking to me, And I know, like, health trends have changed. People used to think smoking was good for you or whatever, like, back in the day. We obviously have a lot of new information. Just no water. Just no water available on the practice field whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
And I think about it now, where I have a six-year-old, and, like, all kids these days, or at least where I'm living, I guess, must have a water bottle basically attached to their hip at all times. And I'm looking at Larry Zonka saying that they're out there in the Miami heat where it's 100 degrees, 100% humidity, zero water on the practice field.
Yeah. Tell your son to man up.
It's not him. It's me.
Yeah. You ever see Junction Boys, the movie about Bear Bryant and the no water thing? Yeah. It was then, you know, based on current commercials, what happened down in the swamp.
Yeah.
Some doctor came up with Gatorade.
I know. Electrolytes.
Water is for cowards.
But
water makes you weak.
Were people cramping as much as they do now?
You need a water break.
Of course they were.
Yeah, obviously, right?
Yeah. They just didn't talk about it.
Yeah, by the way.
Move the drill.
I read a lot about hydration. It feels like it's the buzzword in fitness these days. Like, how do you keep properly hydrated? It's like the key to everything.
Yeah.
Anybody got any tips?
No.
Water. You open your mouth and you drink water.
I think water is like, that's out. Like, it doesn't help you hydrate at all.
Put some liquid out.
Water is out.
Yeah.
It's 70% of your body, but it's out.
You got to have if you drink too much water, first of all, you're getting a little risky because you don't want to, what's it called? Hypoplastomy?
No. Yeah.
Like a lot of
stomach cramps.
It's dangerous. If you drink too much water, like a lot of marathon runners get in big trouble.
You familiar with liquid IV? That has some electrolytes, the powdered thing that you can put into your water.
Probably if you're a big pickle juice guy.
Pickle juice?
Yeah, man.
There's the Gatorade electrolyte drink, which is pretty delicious.
I drink tons of water. I drink I try to drink almost a gallon of water every day. Hydration, man, makes your skin look good.
Just don't read anything about those sleep studies because that's not good for shows like ours where we get no sleep.
Mm. That right. You know those random sports stories you always just think about randomly when no one else is? I still think about Tom Herman having the urine color thing over the bathroom in Texas.
When
the bad teammate. Your urine certain is kind of dark because you know it's not getting hydrated, and good teammate urine
yellow,
very clear. You know, I think about that. I think about that picture probably once every 2 weeks.
Huh?
It's just such a because when I think about hydration, I think about drinking water. Now I always think, oh wow, I'm being a bad teammate or bad to myself if I go to the bathroom. It's looking a little dark.
Huh?
But you guys know, by the way, about you. I'm not the only one here who knows about long distance runners and drinking too much water. You could kill you.
I haven't done the research on that.
It's called hyponatremia, where the kidneys cannot get rid of the excess water. It happens way, way too often. It's really scary. So they warn you, like, make sure you get some salt to balance that water. And don't just chug, like, 6 bottles of water right before you go for a run because your body can't handle it.
Hmm.
Thank goodness I don't run.
I've only heard about that with, like, silly, like, radio competitions. Like, drink all of this water in 4 minutes, and people have gotten sick because of that. That's why you need lawyers and EMTs now.
Overhydration is pretty ugly. That's a thing.
Right, that's what I'm talking about, like water intoxication. Like it's a real dangerous thing it happens in marathons all the time. People are like, you need salt.
Speaking of need to drink a lot of water, Bogues, I'm looking at your t-shirt today. If you're watching on the live stream, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. It's a pizza place called Trippin' Bill's.
It's actually a Dave Matthews Band t-shirt about a song called Trippin' Billy's, but designed to look like a pizza shirt.
How Maggie tried to trick Billy, right?
Basically, yeah.
No. It reminded me of something else. I didn't know it was a Dave Matthews shirt because I'm not that cool, but...
Correct.
I don't know if this exists in other places in the country, but it looks like in where I live now in New Jersey, they're combining a pizza restaurant with a marijuana dispensary.
That tracks.
Interesting.
And I was like, that's genius.
Are you going to indulge, Maggie? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying that's a great freaking idea, you know? And I don't know if you actually can smoke the marijuana at the dispensary. I feel like that's probably illegal or something. I think there's a lot of rules around dispensaries. I've never been in one, so I don't know.
Oh, right.
But the idea...
My friend told me that one.
The idea that, I mean, everyone Andy should be doing this. Marijuana dispensary with an ice cream store on the side. You know, like...
Right. You go to the weed store first, and then the back is the munchy part.
Exactly. Yeah. Like just a Cheetos convention back right there and lots of water, which always reminds me of the movie Half Baked.
They do be selling water and drinks and snacks at some of these dispensaries, yeah. I've heard.
Yeah, you got to go full in though. Like I want cool looking Instagrammable ice cream sundaes. Like let's go all out.
I have more weed dispensaries in my neighborhood than apartments.
But are any of them a pizzeria? No, but
they all have racks of Doritos. There's literally like probably 15 within a mile radius.
Hey man, THC and MSG, they really combine really well.
They all have the same rack of Doritos and Funyuns.
Delicious.
There was a rumor when I was at Fordham that one of the pizza places, if you called and ordered extra oregano, there'd be a little bag of weed in your pizza box.
Too. That was the secret. Wink, wink, yeah. Nod, nod.
Like when you go to the park and buy a dime bag and it's 98% oregano.
Way back in the day. There is another restaurant in New York City. I know it because you have to make a reservation. I have not been there, but they put marijuana in all the food. So,
oh really?
Yeah. So by the end, you're like baked. I saw it on a food influencer did it on her handle.
Where is this? Just to avoid it. Where is it?
I think it's in Queens.
Interesting. All right. Don't step foot in Queens, guys.
Nope.
Unless you're going to a Mets game.
And we lost Manny for the rest of the show. Bogues, what else you got?
The Green Bay. Well, nothing. This is the beginning. Green Bay Packers were as impressive as anyone in week one, humbling those Lions at Lambeau. So now, what do they do for an encore hosting the
Commanders
on Thursday Night Football? Jordan Love pumped to get back on the field with his offense.
Got some really cool playmakers, which, you know, makes my job fun, trying to spread the love around and spread the ball around and get all these guys touches. But I think to that part, too, it just puts a little bit more stress on the defense.
Love, though, facing a
Commanders
defense that allowed only 6 points to the Giants on Sunday.
Go Giants.
Manny and EJ's Knicks in the middle of an odd basketball story yesterday. They hired St. Joseph's head coach Billy Lang to oversee player development. Lang was once a Sixers assistant, so returning to the NBA, not surprising, but leaving on the eve of a new season is St. Joseph's promoting associate head coach Steve Donahue to the full-time gig.
Why is that odd?
Why is what odd?
Why is it an odd story?
Well, why did he leave now? The timing is very odd.
Yeah. Didn't Tony Bennett do the same thing at UVA?
Tony Bennett retired.
Yeah.
And,
like right before the season.
Right, but I think like had things in place and retired. This guy is leaving for another job. And there's been his long-term future at St. Joe's has been kind of cloudy. So people were wondering if something kind of came to a head recently where maybe he wasn't going to get an extension or whatever.
How many people think Phil Martelli's still coaching St. Joe's?
Yeah, by the way, I was about to say, there was a time when I knew every Big Five Philadelphia basketball coach. I never heard of these people when I saw
Phil Martelli and Fran Dunphy. It's basically
and Dunphy's back.
Speedy you're Morris. Halfway there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speedy
Morris. My brother was asking me, like, is Dunphy or Martelli going to take the job?
And John Chaney.
Yeah.
Yeah, John, forever.
Who's coaching at Penn, Pearl?
Fran Dunphy.
Oh.
Nope.
I have no idea.
You're half right.
Fran McCaffrey?
Yes.
Shut up.
Oh, I got the two confused.
Yeah, Fran Dunphy's at LaSalle.
But Fran McCaffrey.
Oh, no, he retired at LaSalle. Oh. He stepped down LaSalle.
Fran McCaffrey has a bigger history, right? Iowa or something? Or
Iowa.
Yeah. So my parents' house abuts against St. Joe's campus, and that's where my favorite cheesesteak joint is. Larry's Home of the Belly Filler.
I've had some.
Home of the it's Belly really Filler? Good.
Yeah, Larry's Home of the Belly Filler.
See, again, I'm talking about the marijuana dispensary mixed with the pizzeria. Yeah. How about cheesesteaks?
Yep.
It's not that hard to find marijuana near Larry's.
Or anywhere in Philadelphia.
All right. Well, it's going to make it even easier, but forget it.
You don't even need it. Cheesesteaks are so good, you don't even need to be high to enjoy them.
Yeah,
just be high on the whiz.
right into the vein. Right into the main vein. But it's kind of like Jon Stewart's character in Half Baked. It's like, have you ever seen a dollar bill? But have you ever seen a dollar bill on weed? Like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Half Baked. I don't even think they were alive when that movie came out.
You guys know that movie, Half Baked?
Yes.
Okay.
Negative Ghost Rider.
Really, Manny? Oh.
It's a little old now.
When it come out? Ish.
Probably before you were born. But it's. I think it holds up.
Oh, God, it does not. It can't be that old, can it?
Somebody look it up.
It had to be more made after 2000.
98.
I was a year old.
Just made it.
Do what you wish with that info.
It's guy. Have you ever heard the line, you're in here for some weed? When a guy goes to goes to NA.
Yeah. You're addicted to weed?
Yeah, all the coke addicts are like, weed? What is your problem?
That's my favorite line. That's Bob Saget, right?
I think.
Yeah.
Oh!
That clip. Yeah. That's from Half Baked.
Aerosmith, hell of a band. I love when Manny discovers stuff. You should watch this movie. It's very funny.
That's
comedy. That's comedy.
I don't know if that's a movie that I get the sense 27 years later might not hold up.
Oh, bleep you, bleep you, bleep you. You're cool.
Yeah, I'm
bleep
out.
Bleep you, I'm out. That
holds up for
that
sure.
That holds.
Guy quitting his job? You've seen that clip too, man. You definitely have. That's a popular meme or whatever.
No?
GIF. Okay. Big shrug.
Guy on the couch?
Big shrug.
Okay. Back
got
to you,
Dave Chappelle in it.
I know him.
Okay, good. If only I could enjoy this.
3-1. Line drive, right field. This one's deep. Got a chance. Goodbye.
He didn't need to do this.
Wow. Instant. Colt Keith rips it into the seats in right. Third two-run home run in the last two innings.
Dan Dickerson,
Yankees, damn
on
it.
Tigers radio. Detroit scored 9 times over its last 3 at-bats
nine
for an 11-1 win at Yankee Stadium following that 12-2 W on Tuesday. So this just the third time ever, apparently, the Yankees have lost back-to-back games by double digits. But who cares? Since the Mets lost in Philly 111-3, the only good news there is their lead for the last wild card spot is still 2 games on the Giants and Reds.
Don't you fret, Bogish. We got 21 days until the Knicks play a basketball game.
Exactly. And I don't mean to dash Maggie's dreams of awkwardly walking palm to palm with Carlos Alcaraz, but the U.S. Open champ, his new girlfriend has been confirmed.
Oh.
It is Brooks Nader, an SI swimsuit model and Dancing with the Stars contestant.
Vamos, Carlitos.
Her sister confirmed the relationship yesterday, apparently by accident, during a New York Fashion Week press event. She called Alcaraz, quote, the man of the hour.
El hombre de la hora.
That's so weird that Alcaraz landed a swimsuit model. I didn't think he could get one of those.
Good for him. Didn't see that coming.
Palm to palm, by the way. You guys get some counseling yet? Or you guys talk about it?
Yeah. Me and my husband? I didn't realize we were doing anything wrong. But so I think the Nader, not that I'm deflecting. We can talk about my husband and I hold hands palm to palm, not interlacing fingers.
Definitely are.
But do they have a reality show?
They do now.
Okay.
Yes.
It's four sisters. They're all beautiful.
Yes.
Mm. I think Brooks Nader was dating Tom Brady at one point.
I think she's, I don't know about, I mean, I she's.
Oh, what an age difference.
She's.
Oh, right. That sounds familiar. Yeah.
She's had multiple dalliances with famous men.
Linked to
men.
A lot of people.
Yes.
Okay. Right. But they have, do you raise your hand? Like, what do you?
No, I want to, when you're done with this point, I have an important reality TV show.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Question. Did they make, EJ, you're the Bachelorette fan.
Yep.
Did they, a Mormon housewife is a new Bachelorette? Is this happening?
He told me about this yesterday.
It's happening. Yeah.
Wait, did you know this?
How did they do the well, you know, they've done the fantasy suite before with people who haven't had premarital.
This is not, it's not a housewife. This is one of the women from those, that weird, like, love sex triangle thing in Utah. So they don't, there are not rules.
Oh, you guys don't know anything about this?
I know about the Mormon Housewives. That show is.
This is different.
Where they get soda instead of beer and it's like a big thing.
Yeah. These ladies do that too, but with other husbands.
No, I love that you think the Housewives are drinking lots of beer.
No, but they treat soda like beer. Right.
Root beer, maybe.
No, this is the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Yeah, this is a Hulu show.
Yeah, which was about like the sex scandal with swinging in the Mormon community.
Oh, yes.
And they took her for the Bachelorette on Disney?
Uh-huh.
Whoa. The Golden Bachelorette or the Bachelorette?
No, the regular Bachelorette. The OG.
Huh.
But not
Wait,
golden.
What did you say?
The Golden Bachelorette? I wasn't sure.
No, she's like 20-something. Taylor Frankie Paul.
Is she that young? Actually, they all are weirdly
31,
young.
31, sorry. 31. Yeah.
I got to be honest, though. I'm limited on the Bachelorette, but it is where virginity goes to die. I mean, no one ever keeps it. The self-proclaimed version is always
showing up with it.
That's approved, definitely.
It was the basketball coach's daughter, right?
Yeah, no, she never lost her virginity.
Oh, she didn't?
No,
Maddie
Pruitt?
What are they doing in the fantasy suite?
No, Maddie didn't. No, that's one of the reasons she didn't win.
Yeah, and then she went on a date. Michael Porter Jr., who has recently been talking about his dating history, and no wonder she broke up with him.
Yeah, I'm not ordering a blow-up doll. And the other guy was a virgin, too.
But he was gay.
Right,
yeah.
Yes. He was the actual bachelor.
Right. If Penix looks really good, stop me.
How is the? And then there's a former Eagles tight end who's in the mix, Clay Harbor.
Oh yeah, he played for the Bears too. Yeah, he was there.
Football.
So is this a good choice for Bachelorette? It sounds interesting.
It's been very polarizing.
She's a baddie.
The people who love this show and love this scandal love this. Folks like me who don't pay attention to anything outside of The Bachelor are like, I don't know who this person is.
Right.
You're
and like middle America is like, who is, what's going
right,
on?
Right, yeah. Like, you're used to like it being someone from the franchise, so you know, you keep the franchise going. Now we're going outside of franchises. I got to watch Secret Lives of Mormon Wives in order to know anything about this person.
Although like, Hulu is a Disney...
It is.
Think company partner now?
It is, but it's just, it's a different, it's like a different universe.
It's like they're pulling someone out of Love is Blind and bringing him into Bachelor.
Yeah, or it's like saying, oh, you know what? You know, Terminator is now going to be in the next Batman movie. And it's I don't like the Terminator. I want to just watch Batman. What's going on? What are we doing?
Jeez, EJ, how are you going to get yourself through this dilemma? T's and P's to you. Coming up, we'll check in on Deion Sanders. Let's stay hard.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Quickly, let's go to JT in Atlanta. Got into a big conversation last segment about water because it's that kind of hard-hitting stuff we do around here. Perloff warning against drinking too much. And where this really stemmed from was we're doing this King of the Mountain project to find the greatest NFL team of all time. And today, it's the 1972 Dolphins up against the 1978 Pittsburgh Steelers. Heavyweight battle. But Pearl, I said I'm always shocked when I hear Don Shula and Chuck Knoll talking about there's no water allowed on the practice field. JT in Atlanta is here to set the record straight on H2O. What's up, JT?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call. Excuse me. I always wait until I'm triggered by something Perloff says before I call in, and this is it for me today.
Yeah.
because it's like you could say anything. Too much of anything is bad for you. Too much, don't eat too many vegetables. You eat too much broccoli. You eat too much spinach. Like if you do anything in excess, it's going to be bad. Do you know how much water you have to drink in order for it to really be bad for you? I forget, what was it? I don't know if that was Manny or whoever said that they drink a gallon a day and they're fine, right? And he says the skin looks great. So what do you need? 2 gallons? I mean, there has to be some context to this. And you're talking about like runners having this issue. And again, I think there's got to be a large number because water is not bad for you. And I don't want the people out there listening thinking, oh, I shouldn't. Perloff said, don't drink water. Don't drink water. I need
JT, salt. You're doing a public now service announcement. You want to make sure people stay
hydrated. You have all these people out there with high blood pressure because they're putting too much salt now into their water because Perloff said water is bad for you. And I'm just saying, like, water is needed. It's a necessity. We like
no, but JT, hold on one second. No one should ever be consulting any of us on health stuff. And thank you for the phone call. No one should ever be taking what we say as like any kind of actual medical science.
I did
except when we have Dr. Rock Positano on the show.
In all seriousness, like that is a thing. Like I did a run with my wife and I heard these people talking about like you got to be, some people think, oh, I'm about to run this race. Let me chug 6 bottles of water. That is actually dangerous. Like, that's a thing. Like, I'm reading about different marathon runners who've died in the last 10 years. Like,
oh, boy.
I can't believe you guys never heard of it. It's called hypothermia or water intoxication. This is, like, a big deal in the runner's world. You guys never heard this? None of this rings a bell at all? I'm not surprised Manny doesn't know.
No, I mean, Andrea
Manny's drinking more water
Andrea's
than
running marathons. Yeah. I got to ask her if she's
heard. Yeah, I'll bet you Andrea's heard because I know she's really keen to, like, all the trends and things.
Yeah, she's probably health conscious.
And now there's this huge industry about hydration products. It's huge and it's growing by the day.
It's crossed my mind to train for a marathon before, like while I'm still young to be able to do it. But you want to know the one thing that makes me not want to do it?
The 26.2 miles?
Well, yeah, but you know, that's whatever. It's everyone says you lose your toenails.
Mm. What?
Yeah. Like you run so much that your toenails, like it impacts the amount of punishment that your feet take.
Everyone says that?
I want to sound like Rex Ryan, but I mean, Andrea, I didn't remember that being an issue.
Maybe it's not everybody. Maybe it's just some people.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
I don't want to risk it.
That's really the thing?
Kind of.
Wow.
I feel like that would be painful to lose a toenail.
Everyone's definitely not saying that, Meg.
People I know have lost toenails.
I think Mick the Quick, the former Yankee, he like removed his toenails to be faster.
Yeah, that sounds
that
right.
That just made the hair on my arm stand up. Yuck.
Yeah, who, man. 70s baseball.
Who is Nick the Quick?
Mickey Rivers.
Mickey Rivers, yeah. Oh, center fielder.
Mickey Rivers was out of his mind.
Yeah. He removed his toenails on purpose
that
to be faster?
That sounds like a fable.
That's an old wives' tale.
All right. Well, that's what I've heard.
I wouldn't tell that to Mickey Rivers.
I wouldn't ask him.
I'd be like, yeah, sure, dude.
Mickey, show me your feet.
Athlete's feet, not athlete's foot like John Madden, tough acting, and acting. But athlete, whoa, like looking at athlete's feet is disgusting.
Look at Bron. Oh.
All of them. It's like gnarled tree trunks.
LeBron,
like tree roots.
Each one of LeBron's toes is on top of each other. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
his pinky's on top of the other one. The other one's
like a bonfire.
Oh, God. He's a hell of a basketball player, though.
Yeah, to me, that's the one thing that does help his GOAT status. He's able to score 25 on those.
Mangled feet.
Have you ever heard Jordan talking about when he went back, he wore the Air Force Ones like later in his career and his feet were completely bloody?
I think that was
He wore them in his last game at MSG.
That's what it was.
Yeah, he wore the ones. And yeah, he says feet were jacked up.
I break it in new shoes right now.
Oh yeah.
Oh, nice. The
Giannis's.
How are those toes feeling?
They're a little sore.
Check over stripes.
M&P.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.